You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in, my friend. Have you ever been on our station before? Is this your 98.7 ESPN radio debut?
Oh, it's my debut. Yes, big deal.
It is a big deal. It's a big.
That's right.
So how long were you with the Giants?
32 years.
32 years. My producer's not even 32 years old.
Hey,
it's amazing.
Yeah, some longevity. Yes, it was a blessing. For me, it was a dream come true. I mean, to get to the NFL, I did spend 1 year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers prior to joining the Giants in 88. So being in the league itself was certainly an accomplishment and, like I said, a dream come true. But I grew up a Giant fan. My family was Giant fans. And to walk through the building, even after 32 years, I still used to pinch myself and say, I'm living the dream.
Before we get, I booked you for the show to talk about, you know, Cam Newton and the
sure.
Patriots and what's going on. But I do want to get your thoughts on this. You know, you guys go out and you draft Daniel Jones and the world just destroyed you guys, right?
Including me, Steve,
like I felt you drafted him too soon. And now everyone's eating crow. Like I think when you hear analysts, when you take a look at the tape and you see the promise and, the ceiling, if there is even one for Daniel Jones, it's got to make you feel really good in regard to what you've seen this young man do in the short period of time that he's been wearing a Giants uniform.
Yeah, and you know, people don't understand what it's like to play in New York. It's more than just the physical part of playing the game, whether it's, you know, shooting the ball for the Knicks or, you know, pitching for the Yankees or playing for the Giants. There's been so many free agents from other teams and other sports that come to New York, and they melt under the pressure. I saw this young man all 3 years that he started at Duke, you know, living down there, and just his persona, and he just reminded me so much of Eli Manning in the way he approached things, his level-headedness, his maturity, and those things are paramount if you're going to play in New York. To me, I mean, we can go through different pitchers from Ed Whitson with the Yankees and some of these other guys that had really nice careers other places. They come to New York, they can't handle the heat. So that, to me, was besides Daniel's physical prowess, his size, his throwing motion, the way he approached things, I knew New York wasn't going to be too big for him. And to me, I think the ceiling is real high for him. He's tremendously athletic. He's dedicated. He's tough. He's a much better athlete than people think. You can see the way he moves around and just his command of the game. He was well coached in college, as well coached as any kid playing the position is going to be and be ready to play in the league. Faced a lot of adversity, obviously. Duke is not Alabama. They do a great job there, but he did not have the supporting cast that a lot of other college quarterbacks coming into the league had. So to me, he had a real smooth transition, and he got to be around Eli. What better way to learn how to play the position than the guy that's done it for 16 years in the hardest place in the league to play and did it the right way all the time?
Again, Steve Vettorosa joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, 32 years with the Giants. So I wanted to have you on the show, to get your thoughts on Cam Newton. Who better? I mean, we could sit here and, you know, I consider myself an NFL analyst. I've been watching NFL analysts all day, but who better than a scout who's been covering the NFL as long as you have, to give us some insight? What was your first thoughts when you got the word or you read, whether it was social media or what have you, that Cam Newton was signing a deal with the Patriots, Steve?
Well, they have a void there. You know, they have Jarrett Stidham, who they like, a young man that I scouted as well from Auburn. But, you know, there's no body of work. And they have Brian Hoyer, who is a veteran career backup quarterback, had some starting opportunities at different places, but you're not going to build your team around Brian Hoyer. So you have an opportunity to get a former league MVP. There's a lot of positives there. So there's positives and negatives with every player. But for me, you know, we talked earlier today. I just wrote some of the positives down. You know, for me now, if you're the other teams in the AFC East and the Patriots' opponents, now you have to defend 11. When you're a defensive coach for against most quarterbacks like Eli Manning or Philip Rivers or Peyton Manning, they're pocket passers. You know where they're going to be 99% of the time. So you really defend 10 with your defensive 11. And now you can't do that. You got to account for Cam Newton with he's a real running threat. They're going to have, I'm sure they'll put in some design runs specifically for him. So to me, those are big positives. He has a really strong arm. I mean, everybody can see that, and which is really good for the real bad Northeast weather that he's going to face. He's a former MVP. He's not old, but he has age and experience. So he's got enough time left that you could build around this guy. So to me, those are some positives. He has strong leadership. His teammates rallied around him. They seem to really like him. He matured a lot as an individual, as a person, especially from when he first got there. Those are a lot of positives for a team to take a chance on a guy who has been nothing but a starter and a productive one.
So
now
looking
negatives.
Looking at the AFC East, okay, and let's just assume, because Patriots are saying it's going to be a competition. I think that's kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face in a pandemic world where, you know, and again, you and I have had a conversation in regard to this season and potentially a short preseason, a short training camp, possibly no preseason games. But that's neither here nor there. In looking at the AFC East, I love the Buffalo Bills this year, right? Like, I'm a really big believer in Josh Allen. I think he takes a step forward. I think the Bills improve themselves in free agency in the draft. I think the Bills win the division. With Cam Newton, assuming he wins the starting job and he's the starting quarterback, do you have the Patriots winning this division again, Steve?
I think it's going to be a horse race. You know, until the Buffalo Bills really prove it over a period of time. You know, 1 year, and again, 1 year is not all necessarily going to carry over to the next year. You know, with the Giants, we had a really good year in 2016, and we thought we were really going to grow. And then 2017, with almost the exact same roster, everything that went right in 16 went wrong in 17. So, you know, this is going to be a strange year. Again, there's an influx of new people going into Buffalo. They have a lot of returning players. But, again, no offseason. You're doing everything virtual meetings. New players coming in, not going to know their new teammates and stuff. There's going to be growing pains for everybody. So I think it'll be close. I worked with Bill Belichick many years ago. To me, they're still the best coaching staff. It's hard to ever, until they're out, I'm never going to say they're out. So I think it's going to be a close dogfight between those two teams. And then you have the Jets that finished 7-9. They finished strong. You know, Sam Darnold missed three games with his mononucleosis. And after a real pitiful start down in Miami, you know, they turned it around and had a strong finish as well. So you could have four teams all clustered together for the first time in forever.
So, but very interesting. What stuck out to me there is, because we're on the same page, like, this is going to be a very interesting year. And because right now, you know, like we all are Zooming, right, when it comes to work or you know, I spend time with my family on Zoom now, but you know, I'm looking at teams in and around the NFL, Steve, that have new head coaches and new quarterbacks, and I'm not putting a lot of value or weight in them doing well this season, because I'm looking at teams with very little change. Like, for example, the Baltimore Ravens. I was just talking about them before you joined me, right? Like, same head coach, same coordinators, pretty much majority of their position coaches stayed, didn't go anywhere. No change at the quarterback position. Very little change. I think Marsh Yanda is the only player that they lost on offense. So I'm looking at teams with very, very, very little change. And I'm also looking at teams that have excellent head coaches, because I think more than ever, you know, players are going to need really good leaders of men. And so I'm looking at like the Sean Paytons of the world and the Bill Belichicks of the world and the Harbaughs of the world. Agree or disagree with me?
No, totally. I mean, continuity is really important in any business. I mean, having the same CEO, having the same method of doing business, dealing with your staff, knowing your staff, all those things, like I said, in any walk of life is very big. So for the Ravens to be as stable as they've been throughout their organization is nothing but a positive. You do that, combined with the good players that they have and the real good job that they've done drafting players, you know, they're going to be in contention every year.
Steve, before I let you go, so for folks who are just tuning in, Steve was with the Giants for over 30 or 32 to be exact, and beyond that, and I'll toot your horn. Steve is, in my opinion, one of the best scouts in the NFL, period. And so I'm curious, you know, and again, living in this Corona COVID-19 world, you know, obviously there's a lot of concern for the NFL to have a season. There's even, I think, a larger concern for college football to have a season.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Boomer Esiason, who's on our other network, came out and is suggesting that college football players are purposely getting the coronavirus. You know, teams like Alabama and LSU and Clemson. I mean, for Steve, 37 student athletes with COVID-19 in Clemson alone, your thoughts on that idea or that notion? Have you heard anything in that regard and that concern or that strategy? Let's call it a strategy.
No, I don't buy that for one minute. And you know, where's your evidence of that? Look, you know, Boomer played at Maryland. You know, young guys are going to do what young guys do, and they can have all the information that you want. But I know at Clemson, for example, it wasn't just players. There were staff members, too. Well, they're not out running the streets. I just think when you have a lot of people in close proximity, there's a very good chance that, you know, it can be either transmitted from person to person or multiple people had it, and now more people have it. But to think that they're doing it on purpose, why? Why would somebody purposely get sick? Because based on the information that we all have out there, even if you're young and strong, supposedly there's residual effects on your respiratory system. So if you're an athlete and a college player who aspires to be a professional athlete, why would you do something purposely that could hinder your chances to get to the next level? So I just, I think guys are careless or uneducated about it. And, you know, it spread like wildfire in certain places, just like it did in where you live in the New York metropolitan area, as opposed to other places in the country. So, I would be shocked if guys were doing it on purpose. I have a son who is on the staff at a major university, and they're not having the same issues right now. So I'll just leave it at that.
Steve, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. It's great to hear your voice. I'm glad you and your family are doing so well, and we so appreciate your time here on 98.7 ESPN. Thank you, my friend.
You're very welcome. I'll talk to you when I do.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.